the IGP and other money. And this is what is about national treasure. Not them telling us about other people now. They must also tell us about the performance of their own money. It's what I want. Our national treasury to say, this is the money we have to give to municipalities, to provinces, and this is the money. This is, how much has been spent, and this is what we did for understanding, etc., etc. Not this. Is there somebody going to do that tomorrow? From national treasury? That's my point. You see, because there is funding, a big amount, something more than 10 billion that you transfer. And that is the money we must talk about from the point of view of national treasury. Are you going to talk about it? Awkward. No, that's fine. Right, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the bosses here today, and let's welcome all the bosses that are here. It is that time of the year again, talking about the third and fourth quarter performance of the money given to you. Well, already, we will allow National Treasury just to take us through in terms of laying the foundation and basis for the discussion. Yours is to dispute or confirm what they are going to be saying to us. Well, I'll start with the big boss. Because already we have not won any medal at Beijing, so that she must go now, start talking to her people to pull up their socks in Beijing. After National Treasury has really laid the basis. But she must also go out and start preparing for 2010, sooner than later. I know already in the very first quarter, I'm not talking the third and fourth quarter, but I've already seen the results of the first quarter. The money there is really not performing very well. And so clearly, the big boss has so much to answer for. I know they are a department that is forever asking for more money and more money. And where I'm seated, I don't encourage people getting more money. I want people to talk about the money that they have. How efficient are we using the money that we have? How economic are we? And how effective are we? And so, Treasury, take us through in terms of the pre-audited outcomes for sports, recreation, etc. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Chair. My understanding of this presentation is to give the healthier background.
That's exactly the point. That's what we must do now, yeah.
What was the outcome for the sports, arts and culture provincial department?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You will notice that in some departments, in some provinces they are combined, in others they are separate departments.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I handed out this detailed sheet here, which containing all 120 provincial departments, but you will find the various...
Do I have that?
Yeah, I think it's just...
Okay, I will find it somewhere. Oh, yeah, it is. Okay, proceed.
Yeah. So if you want to look into detail, if there are two departments within a province, then you can refer to this print doc here. So the second slide is just the background, what's the role of the treasury. So it's just the information.
Jump that one, we're not interested in that.
So it's just for information purposes only.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then if you look at the sports, recreation, arts and culture departments, they're spending, at the end of the financial year, they spend 2.3 billion in aggregate, all 9 crore provinces, which is only 96.7% of 2.4 billion that is allocated for the sport, recreation, arts and culture department. However, if we compare it to the 2016 audited outcome, there is improved spending of 26.5%. you know, compared to the 67 audited outcomes, which is equal to 487 million. So quite a good increase in spending capacity from 67 to 78. However, we found that in Limpopo they only spent 87.7% of their adjusted budget, following by Gauteng, they only spent 93.1%. Then on the bike side, we found that three states only spent their adjusted budget by 1.3%, and then KZN and Western KZN.
No. It cannot be said it's a brighter site. It's a terrible site. Overspending is not right.
Yeah. No,
especially if we don't see where the money is spent. For sure.
Thanks, Jay.
There are two evils. Underspending is an evil,
yes.
And overspending is an evil.
Yeah,
precisely because there's no bailout.
That's right. And then, okay, followed then by KwaZulu-Natal and Western Cape has managed to spend 99.1% of their sports, arts and culture budget for the 7-8 financial year. So, at the end, 8 provinces ending up with an under expenditure, which totals 82.2 million, of which Gauteng the most, 24.7 million, and Limpopo ended up with an under expenditure on the adjusted budget of 19.8 million. If you look at personnel, personnel budget, adjusted budget was 805.4 million for the 9 provincial departments, but they only spent 762.4 million or 94.7% on their personnel adjusted budget. Now, as far as I can remember, there's a lot of vacant posts in certain provinces. I've seen the numbers, but I think it's in Mpumalanga, it's quite high, I think more than 50%. I'm talking under correction here, but I've noted that when I looked through the numbers from a month or so ago. If we then go to capital spending, spending was at 86.8% against, or 192.5 million against the adjusted budget for capital for the sport, arts and culture department. However, it seems whether they couldn't manage to spend the whole budget, there was still a significant increase of spending of 53.7 million from 67 to 78, which is 38.7% increase in spending if you compare it with the previous financial year. If you look then by province, a low rate of spending within the Eastern Cape province of 63%. Mpumalanga 63.9% and Limpopo 68.8%. Now, and as it said earlier, if you look at Northern Cape and Free State, some disaster there. Northern Cape spent more than double their budget. Now, I'm not sure what the reasons for that, and Free State spent 104% of their capital sport, arts and culture budget. If you look into the next slide, this is basically what I just said. It's been a table by province showing you the adjusted budget, the outcome on the budget, percentage on the adjusted budget spent, the over and under situation, and then it's also showing the 67 audited outcome by province, as well as the year-on-year growth. So you could see it's quite substantial growth in Gauteng year-on-year and in Northern Cape year-on-year in the region of 42-43%. Go to the next slide, it's the personnel expenditure on the Provincial Sport, Recreation, Arts and Culture Department. Adjusted budget of 805 million, but could only manage to spend 762 million. Where you can see Northern Cape with a low spending trend there of 86.4%. But if you look at on the spending trend year on year from 67 to 78, you see almost all provinces spend about in the region of 20-25% more than the 67 financial year, with the exception of KwaZulu-Natal of 14% and Western Cape 14.3%. The next slide is then the breakdown by province for the capital expenditure. You can see there the budget there between provinces for sports, arts and culture. Like Eastern Cape is one of our bigger provinces, but it's got a very small budget for capital, up to where you can see how staying a budget of 60 or outcome of 63.8 million. And yeah, and if you look year on year, it's quite a variance between provinces if you look at the spending capacity compared to the previous financial year. Quite a substantial growth in the Eastern Cape of 377%, so it means that in 67 they only spent 1.8 million on capital, but at the end of 7 and 8, on a pre-audited figure there is 8.7 million. You will also notice that in Northern Cape is a decline in spending on capital from 21 million to 7.7 million. Also quite an increase in spending in Northwest, and then also a decline in the Western Cape from 2 million to 1.6 million. Then if you go to the conditional grant portion, okay, I'm going to skip this table just to show you the flow on slide 8. It's the flow of information, the reporting process in terms of the Division of Revenue Act and the Public Finance Management Act. And then, okay.
You know what you must do? Just go straight to sport and recreation.
Okay. So
leave arts and culture.
Okay. So then there's one grant that's under the sport department, so the sport and recreation. The mass sport and the recreation participation program grant. I'm sure you the purpose of that grant is to promote mass participation within schools and so on. Now, at the end of the fourth quarter, spending was 190.7 million or 96.3% of the 197.9 million available funds. Now, you will notice that 193 million more or less allocated in the Division of Revenue Act, but some provinces added some additional money or provincial rollovers of 3.9 million. That's basically unspent funds of the 67 financial year, which they added with their provincial adjusted estimates process. 99.8% of this allocation was transferred to provinces. I think the funds were withheld from two provinces, I'm not sure which two. Two or three provinces was not. I'm confusing now with Arts and Culture. Now, what happened here is that all money was transferred. But the Western Cape, because they did not roll over the funds from the unspent funds from 67 to 78, they pay that difference back to the national department. So if you look at by province, Free State and Northwest are high spenders. Free State is 104.3% and Northwest 100.6%, meaning that they have to over 100%, they have to fund it out of their equitable share. Lower spenders are in Limpopo, at 90.4%, and in the Northern Cape, 91.5%.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
There you are. Now, there's a beautiful presentation from the DG. Green and white. If you can talk to that, madam.
Yes, if I may say, we've got two units in the department that are benefiting from this. It's mass participation, as the grant says, and 2010 for the city.
Mm-hmm.
So they've prepared two presentations, but the CFO prepared this one, just to show how we've done so far.
That's fine.
So we'll talk to all three of them.
I don't mind.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. This presentation was informed by the letter where the third quarter report.
Faris Aldi Papire Hume. Why do you have papers only for yourself? CFO.
I called an extra group here. They were put in the jury about it. This is another extra group.
Okay. Let's also have extra copies ourselves. A KT die extra copy.
Right.
Zolani. Oh, there are extra copies that side. Then you proceed with. Just go straight into the matter. Okay? We are give preamble.
I'll give the preamble.
Yes.
And just go to slide number 234. Which shows the report at the end of December 1st, which was reported.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Which one? 3-4. Proceed, brother.
Yes.
Mass participation.
Yes, the flight will show you how the department was transferring funds to the various provinces. By the end of December, of the 194,000 allocated, almost 163 million was transferred to the provinces as listed on the slide. The other thing we do, we receive reports from the provinces to inform us about the spending. So the next column after the total transfer is an amount indicating how much the provinces have spent at the end of December. If we look at the individual provinces, you'll find that at the end of December, Eastern Cape was at 47% spending. Free State 64, Gauteng 49, KZN 72, Limpopo 37, Mpumalanga 72, Northern Cape 53, Northwest 91, and Western Cape at 66. Overall, the spending was at 60% at the end of December. Chair, I must also indicate that after the report of December, an action plan was implemented by the department to ensure and assist provinces in terms of spending. That will be indicated by the next slide, which shows you how have they moved towards the end of the year. After the implementation of the turnaround strategy, you can see, Chair, that at the end of the financial year, Eastern Cape was sitting at 95%, Free State at 100%, Gauteng at 94%, KwaZulu-Natal 100%, Limpopo 100%, Mpumalanga 98%.
Ah, yeah. Limpopo 100%?
Yes.
Do we believe this?
No, this one is I agree with Treasure, but this is the information they've given to us.
No such. Proceed.
Yeah, and I will also explain something that really caught my eye, Chair. I'll come to the next slide, which addresses some of these discrepancies. Mpumalanga at 98%, Northern Cape at 91%, Northwest 100%, Western Cape 96%. The next slide, because at the end of the year, all the unspent fund must be sent to Treasure. The one you've raised here, Limpopo. The information they gave us, they spent 100%, but they returned 2.5 million to Treasure. So that shows you that the report that was submitted to us does not talk to the report. If you spend 100%, how can you surrender 2.5 million? So that is getting to your already notice, and we are dealing with that change. And some of the provinces who have returned money, if the Eastern Cape, it balances back to the report of 1.3 million. We have got Gauteng, which also they say they've spent everything, but they've surrendered 2.2 million. It's Limpopo. Mpumalanga surrendered the 191. Northern Cape surrendered the 814, that's a single error here, and Western Cape only surrendered 278 because some of the money has been committed for some of their expenses. So that's the report on the conditional grant at the end of the financial year. The next report, Chair, deals with the allocation for the erection of the and upgrading of some of the stadiums for the 2010 World Cup. in the financial year, we were originally allocated 2.7 billion for the stadium. Then during the year, as the program of erection and upgrading gained momentum, we requested an adjustment of 1.9 billion. So the total revised budget for the stadium was 4.6 billion. At the end of December, already 3.2 million or 3.2 billion was transferred to the host city, and that amounted to 69% of the annual revised allocation. Expenditure at the end of December was sitting at 22.4 billion, and which translated into 42% spending if you look at it, or 42% of the overall allocation. Whereas the expenditure to date at the end of December for the stadium was sitting at 70%. The next slide shows you the stadium funding at the end of the financial year, which indicates that all the allocation or the identified fund were transferred to all the stadiums, which amounted to the whole 4.6 billion. Expenditure at the end of March was sitting at 3.3 billion, and which is 73% of the allocation, and also the expenditure compared to the transfer is 73%. So basically, that is the picture in terms of the DORA grant that the department received for the financial year.
Thank you. The other thing, thank you. Are we done?
Thank you, Chair.
He's done.
All right. Hey, there's a problem. There's a big problem.
There's a problem,
Chair. Yeah, the problem.
You
say you out of order. Where sports and
I
saw some
critics writing down what he was referring to.
You see, inking early report is that really does not reflect ill either. The true state of affairs. You see, because what we see here is, and it does worry us. I mean, why should we really discuss this kind of a report? Because let me tell you why I'm saying this. In Limbombo, for instance, I can't believe this, had a problem that they had spent early in the year about 14%. Now, all of a sudden they came to us in the, I think, second quarter and claimed many victories. Now, because we did not believe them, we then decided to go to Limbombo to see on the ground what was going on ourselves. And we did go to Limbombo. Now, we went to three places that they had chosen themselves. The first one was a girls soccer club. There's no stadium there. But we were told that kit was bought. There was some kit somewhere. Now, the kit was in somebody's house. We did not see the kit ourselves. Went to the second place. It was a a particular village. I can tell you the community there is really fond of soccer. There was no kit box, no kit. No kit at the time we were there. No ball, nothing. The sporting ground is just stony, big rocks. Then we went to a third venue, netball. The first thing about that venue is that it was at the wrong place in terms of what the councillor was saying. Because that venue was going to be used for something else. But secondly, again, there was no kit for these people. Now, that HOD was confident, said to us, they had created 48 clubs. And this is why we had to go there, because we did not believe the story. Now, I'm saying, having seen the three so-called clubs, then we were convinced that something is just wrong. That's the one thing. Now go to the Eastern Cape. They have underspent, by the way. It's 95%. Again, we have worries because that gentleman in front of me has been going to the Eastern Cape, I'm not sure how many times, talking to this department. At some stage, the MEC herself had said to us they did not want to accept the next tranche, because of their own capacity problems. But what is coming out of the Eastern Cape again, and that MEC is defending, it's a matter that we've got to raise sharply. They are funding boxing, professional boxers for that matter. I suspect this conditional grant is not about that. Now, let me take you further. No, I'm getting there slowly. I'm just showing you this problem here. The same problem, same province, staged what they call Premier's Club. I mean, Premier's what? Tournament. And hosted professional club just a month ago in East London. The Free State had hosted some clubs, professional clubs. They call it Pakisa, what have you. Gauteng has done the same. They hosted some professional clubs. It is called Gauteng what, Mr. Sokol? Gauteng Challenge. Gauteng Challenge. Northwest is funding some clubs that are in the Vodacom community. So I'm saying the problems here, therefore, for us are that, and this is worrying if this department is not following this. Well, this thing says mass participation grant. And people seem to be doing all sorts of wrong things with this money. Mr. Soko.
Yes. Thank you very much, sir. I think that is the first part, but the second part of it is the Department of Sport and Recreation budget this money for the season and give this money. What happened? Once it is out this part, what happens? You turn away and say you give them out and wait for the report. And that is what I seem to hear, that you wait for the report. What are the mechanisms for monitoring this was called a good part, if they're utilized for the tables that they were intending. Because as you reported, some article, not where, for instance, told us clearly that they are supporting clubs that are already in the what they call it, in the league. So, is that the objective of this man? So, if I'm saying, so, what is the department doing in terms of, does the department monitor, have you got mechanisms to monitor if this money is used for the purpose it was intended for. Number two, okay, I'm not sure. I suspect that the business itself was because a year or seven. Have we done evaluation now? Whether we need this kind of what they call a condition. Because if we do that, it means that we must check whether it has achieved the conditions that it, I mean the intentions that it was intended for. Because as it happens in his report here, that people are, according to us, not misusing this money because it's used for professionals, whether it's boxing, whether it's soccer clubs that are also supported by the National Professional Soccer League, and what not what it's intended for the mass. Because by mass, I mean the ordinary people on the ground who have no access to other sources, but would only have access to this kind of particular resource. But it doesn't seem to be a proper and I'm interested in those questions. Monitoring and evaluation.
Teaching? Monitoring evaluation?
Let me start by saying to you, I've got two chiefs here. The one for master station and one for dividend. Maybe need to answer for themselves.
We'll come back to 2010 because there's also a problem there.
Yes.
Now we'll come to
yeah, let's talk. Just respond to monitoring evaluation only for now.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say that the capacity for monitoring and evaluation within the department is still a challenge, but not that it could be, it's not done. In fact, some of the problems that you've already alluded to, even if you can testify to that, when we did the recovery plan that the chief financial officer said to, we began to pick up this this issue with the provinces. And currently, as we speak, the director responsible for mass participation is sitting with the provinces following up on this kind of expenditure pattern and the intent of confirming the output that we've agreed on and to begin to say to the provinces, if it's not in the business plan, if it's not in terms of the output that we've agreed on, then you cannot actually spend the money that way. And that, in fact, our DG has even gone to say that we, you know, people that are misusing that money will have to answer to that. If it means the next trend will be withheld because the outputs are not what we've agreed on, then it will be the case. The director at the moment is busy with a monitoring evaluation team precisely so that we can pick up right now in the first quarter of this year whether the trend of the issues that have been referred to is stopping or is it continuing, and therefore what action is going to be picking up. But I must say, I mean, we don't want to obviously lie to yourself in terms of our own capacity to monitor and evaluate. But just to indicate what plans we have for this year, we put money aside for the monitoring and evaluation exercise, where we've been developing the terms of reference and that we're going to be using to find an independent team that can assist us with particularly to leading up the report that seems to go to Treasury and that come to us and those discrepancies. Because indeed it's a worrying trend, because our CFO here genuinely presents figures as has been given to us in terms of the template obviously that we agreed on, and then you would find these discrepancies. One of the things that we've agreed with our CFO is that, like we did last year when there was under expenditure, we sent out a team to the provinces to work out on a recovery plan, which indeed reflected the level of expenditure increasing. But obviously the quality of the expenditure is the issue as well. You know, but at least the intervention plan that we put in put up the level of expenditure. Now this year, the the follow-up with the provinces would be now on the quality of the expenditure. This is just where the issue is.
Chair, can I come in also just to say the two colleagues have spoken to the issue of the interventions we are doing with the provinces, and to a point that I now chair with the HOD a forum where we sit and they explain what happens in their provinces. We've also, through the guidance of Treasury, signed contracts with each province, which didn't happen before, where we now will be able to withdraw the funding, because before we tried, but we didn't have a legal basis to do that. So with the PIA we've signed now, we are in a position to withdraw funding from each province. Actually, only last week we were discussing with the minister whether in some provinces we could withhold the funding and deploy a team to the province going to do the job, mainly because of the diciness of the information we are getting. On the class, Chair, I want to know Mark Otelo to respond to the class, because she works directly with the class. And one of the gripes I have at the moment with that process is that we keep on buying stuff, following actually from our national budget, where we also go out and buy, when clubs have funding from DORA, we still also as national go out and buy for some clubs. And it creates a lot of tension, because when you refuse to say no, let's see if the president can fund through the process they have. Why do we have to go in as well? It causes a lot of kind of problems with why are you withholding funds at national level and not allowing the province when the province is not spending. So maybe Norma can explain on club development whether what's going on there, because there was a number of questions you raised about the club and how do we really define a club and how do we ensure that this club exists so that we don't have something called the club, kids bought for this club but you cannot see it when you visit. So maybe she'll stick to that. Can you come in,
Norma?
Yes, before Duncan comes in.
Thank you, Chairperson. In terms of club development, the province is identified.
Yeah, the DG, let me tell you this. Don't even speak to that, because it does not exist, a club development. And that's something that really worries us. Whereas this is maybe because one of the things we had wanted you to do, Nina, was to exactly say precisely what do you mean by this thing. And maybe that is the definition you must give us, only from your point of view. Because exactly the way you have conceived it yourself. Because what we've seen is just not club development. The fiscal dumping that we've seen. Because it is not.
Thank you, Chairperson. What club development is all about is, I'll try and just highlight in bullet points, is that the employees of the department at a provincial level identifies an area where the services can be taken, and they meet with the stakeholders. By stakeholders, we mean the representatives of the sport that the province wants to develop in the province. And when the area has been identified, the people who play it, there is a diversity in terms of the people. In other instances, we find that there are people who are playing, if I may use football as an example, there are people who are playing football, but they are playing it at a lower level, that is competing for 200 rand or whatever is available for state. Now, in the implementation of club development program, these people are, one, capacitated in terms of sports administration, two, they are capacitated in terms of workshops on team management, and three, coaches, which I agree with you, Chairperson, in terms of the coaching part. There was only one province which managed to run those courses. Now, the clubs are then expected to participate in a mass participation format, that is, draw up leagues for the clubs. And as they progress in terms of growth, in terms of increase in skills, they are then assisted to affiliate to the provincial structure of that particular coach. And lastly but not least, what is supposed, with the emphasis on supposed, to happen is that those clubs are bought for a playing apparel is bought for those clubs. Now that again varies from one province to the other. What national department did was to buy for some of the clubs that were established in the year 2006/07 before the club development program was part of the DORA grant. When club development program became part of the DORA grant, that responsibility of buying apparel for the identified clubs within the year, financial year 2007/08, became the responsibility of the provinces.
We read the proper just for people to identify themselves when they speak, who they are, what they see, who they are, so that we know who is speaking to our
This was the CFO of the organization. That is the leader of the director of mass participation. Norma is the director, club development. Yes. And then you put Danke and our internal audit and risk management.
Okay. Is that the man who's going to speak now?
Yes.
That's a key man.
Indeed.
Yeah.
What I wanted to say, Chief, is the issue of establishing whether the fund transfer you use for the intended form. We have established relationships with the provincial to assist us in auditing the mass participation process. So I think that will assist in the future to check for us whether that money is being used for that purpose. As it has indicated that some provinces are using the money to fund the professional tournament. So as national department, we cannot know unless we do the audit. So I think that relationship is going to assist us to take the matter.
His last statement says, as national department, they will only know when the club, when damage has been done and they've been audited. That's why I say I wish he had not spoken.
No, I'm saying for now.
No, Lalela Danke, you know what you must do, manje? Must be able to move. Manje, what's going to happen to the provinces that have funded these professional clubs? I mean, I'm talking about the Eastern Cape, I'm talking about Gauteng, the Free State, Limpopo. In fact, Limpopo, they have not done it. Because when we met with the HOD there about, I think a month ago, she's under attack, she says. She was saying to us we needed to look at page 19 of that weekend City Press,
mm-hmm.
where that department was under attack,
mm-hmm.
because Ilepad had been kicked out of
the
illegal PSN, as if it must be funded by the department.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, for us, there is Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, Mpumalanga.
Mpumalanga.
I think so, yeah. Mpumalanga. Yes,
yeah.
Northwest here, and it's just continuously.
It's KZN.
No, KZN is different. It is transport. It is, this is why I'm not raising KZN. It is roads and transport. We will deal with that in that respect. But if you are able to follow this up for us, and just give us a report, Yoguti, what have you done with these things? Because it must be drilled into their mind. Problem that we have here is that all of these departments, Yabone Fonels, the allocation is 194 million. And all of that is transferred.
Mm.
Now, you are transferring, and this is where we hold you accountable yourselves. You are transferring to underperformers. Because we know that Eastern Cape was underperforming. Ilimbombo was underperforming, and many others. But why were you sending this money to underperformers? This is the point for us, really. Because we are still not convinced, for instance, going forward, whether they would have the capacity to spend this money. And what they then do, because they are able to see, no. The lights are red.
Mm.
That we can understand. Then they stage this tournament and fund all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So clearly, the issue for us is exactly what Mr. Sokoni was saying, but also you are also responsible. Precisely because you were not monetized, and therefore you transferred all of the money, even to underperformers.
Mm.
That's where the problem lies.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we changed that setting, if you remember, as soon as we came in the department, we changed the whole thing. We understood exactly what was said by Parliament. And we went back to the department and created a plan to check how do we monitor this process. Because we were getting monthly reports, which you questioned every day we brought here in Parliament, to different committees. When we tabled those reports from provinces, they were all kicked out. So we realized there was something very wrong. We set a system of saying, let's go to each province and visit each province and find out what's going on there. We discovered what was going on. For instance, in Limpopo, we discovered that they had a high vacancy rate in the department and could not just for sure. They did not have the company to spend the rent that we give them locally. So, and they did not have a strategy of how to do that. We had to assist them with that, even if it meant we had to procure at national, to assist them to procure so that common communities that are enthusiastic to play sports can get the apparel they need. So we had to intervene there. We went to each province and then we discovered that people were using this money for professionals. And when we said no, we'll threaten to withdraw the funding, said that I wonder, as much as you would want to do that, but the bottom line is you don't have a contract that binds you to doing that. And we're put under severe pressure, politically, to say, why are you not transferring funds? We had to do that.
No, but hang on a bit. I can't understand why National Treasury was saying you had no legal basis.
No, we didn't sign a contract.
Because each division of revenue is clear in terms of under consistent material understanding.
Mm.
It clear a division of revenue at that. And so in my view, you do not even need a contract because you are doing that on the basis of the Division of Revenue Act. In other words, you are withholding. There's a particular section there, I'm not sure if it's 23, 24, 25. Right, of withholding. So that I'm saying, for us, that's the issue. You did not need to even go this extra mile of signing these agreements and other things. Precisely because the mechanism was already in place. But what I suspect, you were condoning some of these funny exercises.
It looks like we did, Chair. But then for this year, financial year, we definitely made sure that that's not going to happen. That's why now we have legal records, actually, which we were told, even though it was there on door, that we could not implement it because we didn't have a contract that was signed where we could hold the HOD accountable and the provincial treasury accountable. We did not have that document. But this year we have it. We implemented that and we refused to transfer funds without the HOD binding themselves to the contract and the CFO of the province doing that. So we've done that now. As a result, we have now a legal standing on top of DORA, Chair, to say to the province, we're not transferring funds to you again. You've done that. I know Northwest, for instance, somebody has been suspended for doing exactly that. If I may raise, Chair, that at the Nisutra, you find that this issue was raised again at a broader level in the discussion. And what we're struggling with here is that you have a national grant which has conditional, which goes to a province. Instead of applying what was agreed and given to them and saying, this is why you are giving this fund, the amount is taken to the provincial executive, which then sits and reallocates. And then you find the MEC giving it direction. It's a general trend.
No, Vakabiti HOT. Kandi, these people do not get this thing on the basis of submitting a business plan.
They do.
And so why should it go to EXCO when a business plan is clear? And you know what you can do for us? Can you get us some of those provinces which have done exactly what you've just said?
Yes.
Because this is money, a conditional grant supplement, money they must put aside.
Yes.
Now, if there are provinces where the expert said to say we are going to reallocate a conditional grant, get us a list of those because we do want to it would be nice to meet with the premiers and ex-cos, just to raise this and read the riot act to them ourselves.
The
MECs, maybe. The MECs, it's fine. Get us that list, because we will be dealing with this discussion in the first court. And I think we'd love to invite you when we're discussing the first court, especially in terms of this one of the grant, this particular grant for the first quarter, the current financial year. Because again, I can vouch this huge understanding there.
Indeed.
Madam Robinson.
Yes, thank you, Chair. You partly covered what I was going to say. Simply that surely money isn't just dumping people's lap and then you do what you want with it. Surely when the money is transferred, you receive the business plan or also give clear direction about what the purpose of the funding is. People can't just say, oh, yeah, now I've got the money, I'm going to do this, that, or the next thing. You must make sure, are these processes in place or is it just a different necessary?
So definitely those processes are in place. They were there before, but for some reason, people did as they pleased anyway. We've now tied them to a process where we set your business plan first, to a point that we did not transfer Northwestern, because the HOD had not signed until late in April. We said, if you don't sign, no transfer to you. That's what we've implemented now, so we can hold them and get into that. There is a business plan that's signed, which is sitting with Treasury as well. There is a PIA that's signed, and then we're saying for each tranche we want a report. For instance, we have stated now, even though we're put under severe pressure to transfer again, we said we need the report. Without the report, we're not giving you anything. Because the bottom line is those reports are telling us.
No,
who
was putting pressure on you to transfer?
Mr.
Dean,
the chairperson, it's just in relation to the responses of the Director General.
Who was putting pressure for you to transfer?
No, that's exactly where I want to go to, because it really goes back. The issue was, please allow me just to go back, because it's just the context here, to say that you were condoning this. And I need to say that we were not actually condoning the activities of the provinces in terms of our expenditure. Mm-hmm. But the first step that we took, which we reported here, was one of a partnership to say, before you can withhold the funds, let us also make sure that we assist the provinces as our partners in identifying what the problem is, and then to beef up the capacity. For instance, you've alluded to, for instance, where there were no personnel, and et cetera, et cetera. And we agreed an action plan that was actually put into place. And as I said earlier on, because of that action plan, the provinces were basically saying, but national, we now do have an action plan that we've agreed on, and we've committed to it. And here.
You know what, Mr. Bia?
So it was on that day.
I'm saying to you, what we see here
is
not as a result of the action plan. It's as a result of other activities that are really not in the action plan. And one of those we're contending ourselves is funding professional clubs. And so if somebody comes in and looks at these figures and says, Ilimbombo was spent 100%, they would say, fine. But we know better.
Mm.
This is not true.
Yes.
And we're saying, whilst you've got your action plan, it's fine. We want to plead with you, Manje Dichi, to go back, engage thoroughly with these people, especially on the basis of this turnaround plan. To what extent are these people implementing the turnaround plan? You see, because the problem that you're having is that, again, you're stating the issue that is also again covered in the Division of Revenue Act, which is whenever you intend to withhold, you must raise the intention with them so that they comment. They must then comment to you so that if they are not able to convince you, you withhold. So I'm saying there's no big deal there. Those are things that we can do. I'm saying this turnaround plan seems to be the people decided to fund other things except the turnaround plan. And this is exactly the direction that we want you to follow. Go back to the provinces and say, let's go back to all the issues. And take these things step by step. Go back to issues of vacancies, go back to the issues, and it would be nice if you can have each site visit.
Yes.
Let them give you a list of all the clubs.
Yes.
Where the clubs are, so that you go back, Nina, and talk to the same club owners, if you like, to the communities, to everybody there. And I can tell you, you will then come back to here, or maybe to your offices, convinced that nothing is going on the ground.
Mm.
This is what we are pleading for.
Okay.
Right, let's go to 2010. Now, Nancy Malika, 2010, I said in.
Now, Professor, that's the last comment. Would you like to make a comment, maybe that the National Department would you like to comment about the DBSA there?
Yeah.
Maybe National Department can link up with DBSA in terms of the white DBSA.
No, you're right. In fact, you are right. Thanks for that. DG would want you to have a meeting with the DBSA.
Okay.
Because they are also causing confusion. Apparently, the intention is good.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable. They are busy with something called Dream Fields. Again, it's about this sport activity. In some provinces, we've taken them to those provinces to start talking to the provincial departments of sport. So talk to them, because they have funding again. And again, you might then be able to coordinate, because you are the lead department in respect of sporting issues. And so they cannot just come in all over the show, because they've got funding. And so clearly, again, that would in fact leverage some of the funding that you have. But there's so much underspending here. Again, the money that DBSA also has. So I'm saying, it would be nice if you can have a meeting in the next 2-3 weeks.
They've called me already yesterday.
There's a person called Manjezi.
Manjezi.
Right. Speak to Manjezi about that thing. And you see how you coordinate that funding. But as we were saying, go back, site visit to some of the places unannounced. Just get a list of all the clubs. Go to those places unannounced. Talk to those communities. And then relate what they are saying to this expenditure that we see here. Colleagues, can we go to FIFA? FIFA has problems too. Vodacom Park, I suspect, is Mangaung, 37%. Ellis Park is 35%. Loftus Versfeld has not spent anything. The transfer was 8.43%. Then you have Moses Mabhida, 78. Peter Mkaba, you know, this one is unbelievable. Khalif Mbombela, 150. I mean, I cannot believe this one. I think let's can we focus on Mbombela and maybe colleagues can pick up some things, man. Green Point is funny. We know there were problems here. Green Point. Robinson. Mungane wakho yahlu. Yebo? No, I'm talking to Miss Robinson. Your friend, yahlu, a Green Point.
Uh-huh.
Look at that. His spending is 22%. Talk to her. Talk to her. Colleague, there's FIFA 2010. Can we look at that performance there? Comments? Questions and clarity.
That's what I said, sir. My heart is very sore about Port Elizabeth.
Okay.
Why?
It's omitted. But
Port Elizabeth is not omitted now, sir. Nelson Mandela is the first one.
But if we could just get the story about what's happening now,
continuing over the health of that. What is going to happen?
No, Zulu Mamela. Let's not go that route. Let's not speak on behalf of Nelson Mandela. Masbekele mali. And that's right. La issue aside, let's not deal with the LOC now. The LOC is going to be dealt with by people who are best part. Must see again. Yes. Niku kombele, niku kombele. Kombele kazuba niki passport. Ellis Park 35%. Soccer City seems to be moving. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced. 95%.
I'm doing the monitoring myself.
Okay. And Mbombela. Now Mbombela and Royal Bafokeng are at a big risk. Huge overspending. Is there a bailout? I don't know. And I'm not sure whether they have finished building in Mbombela. While the colleagues are still looking, somebody seems to be ready to answer these things I'm raising.
Okay.
In Mbombela, is it finished building, not erecting, building?
No. Thank you so much. Chairman, the programs for building of the stadiums and the upgrading of existing stadiums, they're two different things. You will see that the trend in those stadiums that exist out of the 10 stadiums and those green field stadiums, the ones that started from scratch, the spending patterns are totally different from one another. Now, the period we are talking to is a period when the transfers to upgrade the existing stadiums for the Confederations Cup, which is next year. It affects Loftus-Versfeld in Tshwane, and then Royal Bafokeng in Rustenburg, and then Bloemfontein for the Compaq Stadium, and then the last one is Ellis Park. Okay. All of them have got minor upgrading. That's why you will find that the municipalities that we have signed contracts with have been also using other funds while waiting for us to actually transfer after they signed the contract. Loftus-Versfeld, for instance, why it doesn't show anything by the end of December and end of March 2007. The problem is that they could not put contractors on the working side because the agreement between the municipal and the stadium authorities was that they must allow the season of rugby to finish so that the rugby union does not claim the loss of income from the city, which was going to amount to hundreds of millions. And we were warned when we were discussing with the municipal that because the stadium was given to the rugby union, unfortunately the city does not have much legal leg to pull out from those contracts. They had matches that were going to bring an income of over 120 million that were already scheduled to Loftus, the same at Vodacom Park and Ellis Park. Now, then our technical committee that deals with the contractors that have been contracted by the municipality had site meetings and devised means of allowing continuation of minor upgradings, not disturbing the field and the main stands that are going to be utilized for rugby, so that there must be this dual process that minor work like upgrading the camera stand, shifting of the positioning of the seat, is not going to interfere with the match. So there was an agreement that they must appoint the contractors on the late part of the season so that they can be on site in May. In Tshwane, they started on the 12th of May to build. They are on site, and Tshwane is on track and in terms of spending, they are on track at the moment. The last report we have given to the portfolio committee will show you that, in fact, most of these stadiums, including Nelson Mandela Bay, have been able to recover from the revised programs for construction because of their allocation to the Confederation Cup. They had to speed up even the deployment of the ships that are actually working on a 24-hour basis. Now, that has increased the capacity of spending such that now we will be actually coming back to motivate them that we will ask even another 700 million to be brought forward to this financial year, because they are now getting into cash flow problems, most of these municipalities. They are finishing earlier than what we expected, the stadium. So that is causing another problem for us, because they are saying now they don't have another source of getting bridging finance so that they can complete the work of the next allocation that we are only going to give them in the next year, which is 2008-09. That is what actually is reflected on Mbombela and the Royal Bafokeng at the moment, because those stadiums are finishing before the FIFA's schedule. Now, the contractors are not going to wait and say that you are supposed to give FIFA the stadium in December. But if they finish in June, they're supposed to be paid in June, unfortunately, because that's how the contract of construction is built. It's managed by phases of finishing work. Most of the work that is being completed at the moment in the four stadiums is to make sure that the stadiums are ready for the Confederation next year, those four that I have mentioned, in exception of Nelson Mandela Bay, which has now been taken out of the program for the Confederation Cup. There is no less spending, as I've said to you now, but maybe at the time when the report was prepared, that could have shown, because the upgradings were actually allocated to the end of the season to start, so that then the contractors could be paid. But that has happened.
I have been getting an issue. It means then we're talking, in fact, it's true. Well, we're talking on the report got December, and this is not December.
Okay.
So can you sneak the report wrong? Because we've really wasted our time. The report is wrong. Yeah.
The letter
said third and fourth quarter, yeah. Mm. All right, no, you're right. Yeah, it means then, if that is the case, it means they're going to king, really.
Yes,
sir. Right, no, if that is the case, it means there was a problem. But let's just talk about struggle again. Let me allow for questions and comments. Then it means your story is wrong.
At the end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Now, it is. Thank you very much for the report. However, the problem that normally worry me is the reality of what is happening on the ground and what people think that we want to hear. We are told. Because I'm just looking at the risk expenditure, that now they are on track. Like your last term, that's for instance, and maybe it would be better if this report were comprehensive, in the sense that if there are other funds that are used which are not part of the conditional grant, then they were reflected here, so that we have a full, what you call it, picture of what is happening. But the way it is, we assume that these are the amounts.
No, no, just hold. Let me show you in King. You know what this tells us? At the end of the fourth quarter, there was the underspending of 70%. That's what the story is of this report, looking at it now.
Mm.
So what does that mean? It means then they're going to roll over of 30%. Now, between December and now, they've started using Imali Enja, new financial year, Gomash. In other words, what we need to check is from the 31 of December, ne, to the end of the financial year,
yeah,
which is the 31 of March.
Yeah.
Where were we? Where were? Between the 31 of December, were we between this 70% and 100%? Did we finish it? Because manje, we're in the new financial year. It would be interesting to know, for instance, as Mr. Sokon then says, Guti, the Loftus at that time did not spend. Right, lalela ke, that is December. Ithike sikubonise ke manje, story is right. January is summer. February is summer. March,
Bas-bender,
let's assume. April, May, June, you stop. A lot of this was felt. Because good lali rapi. Again, there's no spending.
No, not necessarily. That's why I spoke about the dual usage of the stadium. While construction goes on, they are playing the matches, and the construction stops only for those days that are scheduled for the matches.
Okay.
Yeah. But the next day, the contractors are back on site.
All right. You know what we will be asking then from you?
Mm.
I think let's get then the updated spend.
Mm. Yeah.
Only Mr. Sokol.
I would like to hear a direct comment about at the end of March, Loftus has spent only 1.75%. Itamkala 63%. Am I right? Royal Mafeking 39%. Green Point 45%. Now, yes, others are overspent. It is part 44%.
Yeah.
Now, that was at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
Now we say now we are on track. I don't understand because big on track is just a general statement that reflected here by the 73.0%. But clearly, other stadiums are really behind in terms of schedule. If you look at this expenditure, what is being done? Or because if you say you are on track, so why do the workers at Kitan Kabatin that is me, but they should go on strike every day in the morning? Because we think that we are on track. When we are not, what you call it, on track. And people will say tomorrow now, Australia is ready to hold this World Cup. Why is it that this expenditure can't be better than this? What are the problems?
Yes, thanks for showing me this thing. Because Gemanje, let's start from Mark Gemanje. The question I was raising is still relevant. Between March and now, even though we were talking with third and fourth quarter, because I think there's a big problem, Lapana. Mr. Moyo,
yes.
Respond to the question.
Thank you, sir. The pattern of spending, as I've said, that is controlled by the construction schedule. On the case of Loftus, you'll notice that that 1.7%. 75%. It's actually the professional teams that were brought in on site to do the design of the new renovation that is needed. The professional teams are not contractors. Contractors only came about after the issuing of those designs for tender purposes. That's why the contractors were only on site from the 12th of May. Therefore, the spending at Tshwane and the work that has been done at the moment as of 11th of July, standing at 50% complete since the contractor started on the 12th of May. The stadium will be complete by the end of October this year. It will be complete to be compliant with FIFA. I'm saying that when I say on track, I'm talking to the construction program. That in terms of the schedule that they've issued of renovation, they are on track in terms of the work that they've done. Up to now, it's at 50% as of last week, the 11th of 2 weeks ago, which is the end of July. That is the latest. Now, I'm only referring to the work done after the contractors were appointed. At the 31st of March, they were not yet appointed. The contractors on site, and then the spending. When we give you the next trench, how they're spending from there, you will realize that work has gone so fast that they are meeting their program of delivering the stadium on time.
No, actually, I'm getting Mr. Moy. You know, Mr. Sokoni stays in Gauteng.
Yes.
We will ask him to go and look at Loftus Versfeld.
Definitely.
He did say Soccer City is on track because he's watching that carefully. But he must then also look at Ellis Park on our behalf. Nathalie Loftus Versfeld. Udani is not here. He would be looking. Yeah, he's ill. He would be looking at Peter Mukaba, but we will also find a way. Ngali, if you tell us about Mbombela. Just tell us about Mbombela.
No, sure. I don't have any reliability. That's why I'm reluctant
to say anything on Mbombela.
Yeah. But
when are you
over the phone? Because I'm going there. I'll be there tomorrow.
Please.
Because you are aware we're having a problem.
Sure. Yeah. Just look at that Mbombela, because it would be nice to have a sense.
I was still going to answer the others.
Okay, answer the others.
Sokoni had asked about the others. Yes. Maybe let me go straight to the one of Royal Bafokeng. Royal Bafokeng is doing renovations that are similar to Ellis Park. They are very minor renovations to meet certain requirements that are specific to the World Cup and the Confederations Cup. Their revised program, which is the latest program in terms of the stadium, Royal Bafokeng is at 41% to complete the stadium. And they've only lost 4 days of the work stoppage, which has not had any impact on the critical part of the program at the moment. So they are spending in terms of our funding. Remember, government has given 50% of the funding, and the Royal Bafokeng as the administration has given another 50%. So they have not necessarily relied on waiting for our funds to be transferred before they use. They engaged the contractor even prior to that.
Mm.
So the completion of the Royal Bafokeng Stadium, 15th of December this year, the work will be complete. As it is now, in terms of our program. Then the next one was in Mbombela. Mbombela had strikes that actually affected some of the lost man hours in terms of the program. But they then reissued a revised program, which was then endorsed by the city and the project management team that is employed by the municipality. In terms of their program, you will remember that it's only Mbombela and Soccer City and KZN and Moses Mabhida that were running forward with building and of the stadium. Even prior to all these issues, they were always forward in terms of their program. Mm. And we always knew that their stadiums are going to finish 6 months before the FIFA deadline. So Mbombela revised its program, and its program is now back on track. They are actually, in terms of they are 84% now complete with the concrete bowl of the stadium. It means basically the stadium now, by the end of December, will be actually seeing seats and the colors actually going around the stadium. The president and ourselves were there recently at the Imbizo, and the work could be testified by anyone who would be going there. I'm happy that, in fact, the honorable member would be there over the weekend. And we can actually facilitate that he should be given a chance to go and see even the on-site fabrication of the seat concrete slab that are being manufactured on-site and then transferred for installation on-site. These are some of the improvements that have happened. And then on the issue of the Peter Mokaba Stadium, yes, there have been also problems in terms of the work stoppages, but the work stoppages did not stop the other workers to continue to work. Because remember, in all these stadiums, all of them, we're dealing with two unions. It's the Building and Construction Allied Workers Union and NUM. And they are employing workers who are inputting at different levels of the construction. BAMCOA is actually more on the artisans and the skilled labor force, which is not normally involved in strike. And while the NUM membership, the majority are the people who are semi-skilled and those who are employed on contract basis by the labor brokers. So those, at times when there is work stoppage, they are easily replaceable. That's why the court interdicts that have been won in the two stadiums has been at a disadvantage of the union, where they were forced to go back to work and pay back for those lost hours. So that led to us then intervening and calling for the CCMA and the Labor Department and the organized labor unions and the contractors, all five of them, the big five from Greenica, LTA, and Basel Red, and the Group 5. And then an accord was then agreed on how the issues of labor should be handled henceforth in all the stadiums leading up to the completion. That is the political intervention that came from our side. And so far, it's working. There's been less disruption since the last few weeks of June. So the last stadium was the Greenpoint one.
Yeah.
Greenpoint, ever since the last work stoppage, it's been on course in terms of its program. And they are spending, actually, that one stadium that is going to be taking a lot of money from the allocation of the stadiums, as you know. They are the biggest, in fact, in terms of the budget. They have been actually funding partly to the city and an allocation, I think, that came from the province. So at the moment, their work schedule is at 35% and is on track in terms of the revised program, which will deliver the stadium by the 14th of December 2009. The stadium will be complete in 2009, on the 14th of December. Then, in terms of the spending, they are the ones who are worrying us because, as you know, right now they are asking for another 440 million shortfall.
and we have spoken to Treasury, they've been told that they must go back to their own Treasury. They must look for other ways of getting the prison financed. We will look at the other issues. We have commissioned a team of quantity surveyors with the Public Works and Treasury and TBSA. They are revising all the programs for construction in those that have got a clear cost overruns that we think might be problematic. They are revising those, so we will hear from them what is the result by the end of this month.
Look,
that's the last.
Yes, look.
The last one on my side is how does the yesterday we were in another meeting, somebody spoke about your construction inflation.
Cost escalation.
Yes. How does it affect you or the stadium?
In terms of the stadium, Chair, thank you. There is a team that is working with Deputy Minister Chabung Lekedi. He's headed by the DDG at Municipal Treasurer for 2010, Malcolm Simpson. They have went to, they are actually working with this quantity surveyor team. It's precisely to get that reality of the situation, because we found that some of the municipalities are adding their cost of operation for this stadium already now into the stadium budget. And it then makes this bubble to look very big, that we are carrying a very high escalation, while some of the things are not necessarily things that we're supposed to fund in terms of the stadium. These are operational issues and overlay issues that FIFA and each municipality and the LOC must agree who's going to pay for them. Because the overlay, the problem with them is that some of them are temporary things, putting up maybe marquees at the stadium in support of the stadium operation, putting up of additional services at the stadium, which are not necessarily required in terms of the functionality of the stadium. So we said as government, we are not going to be responsible to fund those things. Let the person who's requesting or requiring those services, let them actually add these facilities and agree with the city and split the funds. Let's say, for instance, I can make an example. The petrol for the generators that are going to be supplying electricity in the individual stadium, the petrol for the generator is not necessarily a capital issue. Somebody has to pay for petrol of usage at the stadium. It's not necessarily us to build the stadium and pay for petrol that is going to be put onto the diesel generator, because that's going to be very expensive. So DME did actually the same thing. They wanted to buy the generators, but now they've opted to hire them and then discuss with the LOC and get a user charge model agreed, so that somebody must pay for the usage of the generator, because it's not us who must fund them. We are funding the national grid, which FIFA is not happy with. They say they want a permanent generator in each stadium. The national grid can act as a reserve, which is available.
Okay.
So those are just examples of the issues that have been covered.
Custom Calibre?
Thank you. No, it's Chair. On the issue, I don't think it's directly with what was happening. This is the fundamental issue of the land question.
Okay. No problem.
We need to
find. Okay. DG, let's really thank your team. Look, there doesn't seem to be a train smash on FIFA. The train smash is mass participation. And so I think let's go back, as I said, let's really interrogate this. Let's really go to these communities that have been identified. Let's really talk to the communities. We do talk to communities ourselves. I mean, it would be nice to have your own department under one roof with the community and raise these terrible, embarrassing questions yourself.
because you are funding, raise the embarrassing questions, so that then the communities must then be able to say to you, no, no, we're not receiving these things, we're not receiving these things. So that I think then we shall be able to. Because clearly, this is a conditional grant. If we connive with people who are really violating the conditions, then we are also culprits.
Mm.
So please, we are pleading with you today. We're in a very good mood today.
Thank you.
And your last word, madam, you're not on death row.
So thank you, sir. Yeah, I just wanted to introduce Modie from Northwest.
Oh, where is she?
I thought you were going to ask her some questions about Northwest.
No. In Northwest, we know the stories. They are funny stories.
Okay.
We're not going to ask her questions. We will ask. In Northwest has its own funny things. We told you about Vodacom. They are funding Vodacom. That's what you must. That's where you must start first in terms of your investigation. They're unapologetic about that. In fact, you must withhold the whole granting for that province until their house is in order.
Okay. Modi, you are hearing that from the chair.
No, thanks.
We did not say speak.
Okay.
Yeah, withdraw. Because what we are saying is that they must go and investigate the wrong things you are doing in that province. We want to see mass participation. We don't want to see what you are doing. The DG must send a team of men and women to investigate yourselves.
At the DG is closing. Whoever being assessed, they are admitted to capacity at the college. I didn't say simple fair as to say what's been done to we don't come back next time.
Yes.
No DG is going to cover that too.
Okay. Okay, and then I thought I should just introduce the person who put all these documents together and who does the punching of figures, working very close with Treasury, with the CFO, with our Director of Finance. And she is Kodimo Agadi.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, you can.
What is it that she's doing the CFO cannot do? Director of Finance, what does Director of Finance do that cannot be done by the CFO?
What Director of Finance
answer?
Yes. I think we should wait 10 minutes. CFO is at a strategic level.
And so you're at a less strategic level?
Not like him.
You know why I'm raising? Hang on, let me raise DG. You know why I'm raising this question? I'm raising this question because you must start responding to this capacity issue. For instance, duplication, etc., etc. You might be having people that are doing things that are less strategic, and so you might be able to reshuffle some of them to some of the positions that would be useful to the establishment. And this is why I would be worried if there was a manager in a manager's office. Now you've got a director in a CFO's office. So I'm saying you might want to relook at how then do you look at your own organogram, okay, such that the director of finance is used much more effectively elsewhere. So that the CFO must do all of these funny things, the figures and the other things, together with the Treasury.
Indeed. No, thanks for that. May I use the actual, she's representing South Africa in Zone 6, which is 10 countries of study, on the Technical Finance Committee. She's doing all the finance and planning for the study. Yes, of course. So she's really...
And the
that's not strategic. That's why she was saying she's doing a good combination of both. Well, she's very strategic at that level. Even though as a CFO, we sent her in, and she's coping very well at that level. Thanks for that. We are looking at moving staff actually to the critical project. You remember, Chair, that we spoke about satellite offices and provinces. We are busy doing that now, where we find space in public work for those offices. We now have a budget for that, and we'll be taking that off soon. When we come back next time, we'll be telling you. In province 1, 2, 3, we're trying to pilot with about 5 and see where the critical issues, if we were to withdraw for the grant, we'll be able to go in hand on ourselves to implement projects where we can do. Otherwise, if we don't do that, we'll be in trouble because we're withholding and then we're saying ourselves we don't have capacity, we'll put us in trouble. We won't be able to spend it all. But if we've got just satellite offices and provinces, we can fully move staff, even from national to those offices, to go in and put their hands together or in that province. Chair, on DORA, I thought one of the things I need to raise is that we've discovered that provinces rely solely on DORA, that the provinces don't budget for sports at all. And as a result, you see some of the provinces overspend. They were supposed to have used their own funds, but it just is an indication that they don't put a cent
for sports in their own province. It means the business plan is not credible.
Mm-hmm.
What it means?
Yes.
Business plan is just not
credible.
Mm-hmm. And so those are matters
we
must also
deal with. We are also addressing that, indeed. So thank you, Chair. I thought I should just say that.
Right. We also thank you very much. And our sporting community really relies on you. And so do not disappoint them. Again, we are really urging DG, do not accept these funny reports that say we have created 139 clubs. Now, when somebody says we have created 139 clubs, we want to see exactly what was said earlier in the context of that. We don't want just to go and see boys that are... Because part of club development means also the physical facilities, stadiums. Okay? And so for us, we must then be able to have a good sense of those things. One of your MECs had said to us, she had built that, developed about 139, and then we asked for a list. The list did not come, and when she met me somewhere, I reminded her, she then said, no, people lied to me, Chairperson. In fact, we had only 39 clubs, something leased, also do not accept these things, because we don't accept them. If you accept them, you are really compromising this good work we must be doing. Thank you very much with this big team of yours, and thank you for the lady who also come from the other province. Of course, they are doing all sorts of wrong things, and we hope from today they'll be doing the right thing. Thank you very much. Right?
I will dance with you, Patamata.
Eh? Mrs. Robinson, you seem agitated. There are some other departments to talk to. Oh, is this why you went out to phone?
I knew about it first, and I wanted to do that, to go and have a look and open to the public. And yeah, I think progress is being made. And the mission has been passed, so that's fine.
You know, the reason why she's saying she's a friend to the mayor of the city. And this is why she's giving people permission. Without, you can't walk in there without your protective hat. You must arrange those hats. Thank you very much, DJ and your team. Let's take the assignments about Enkel Wokert. Fire! Let them come in. Madam, go well. Don't have all these people, so many people under you.
The credibility of the report.
You're not in a big hurry, my friend. You are our friend.
No.
What is your time left?
I'm at 6:04.
What is your time left?
15:05.
It's low. You must run. You must
run.
This is road. This is road. You must run. You must run.
No, I'm not going to do that.
You must talk to Rose now. You must run. Rose? Rose? Fire, come in.
I have a
No, ndifuna ngoku iroads phumani. Andifuna ukumamela kuwe ngokugqibela. Sawuthetha ngexesha ubindifone kafuna uthetha nge. Umnike inamba ke yamafowuni. Sanuzivuma.
Qala kwalapha kuthi.
Ndiyahambani. And then there's right. Otherwise I'm nqumlini hlwa kwesi. Roads. Over to you, National Treasury. Tell us about what these chefs must do and are not doing right.
Thank you, Chairperson. The purpose of this presentation is just to give a background.
You go straight to program two.
There's no speaking what they call the divide. So, better voice won't help us tonight.
Okay, just go straight to. Yeah, no. Public Works, Roads and Transport, just from here. Stop the preamble. Must be businesslike.
Okay, with your permission, what I was going to do is to talk from slide 3, which covers then all the tables. So I will
okay.
Talk to slide 3.
They don't have the slide. This is the slide from National Treasury. Can anybody arrange them some slides for that? They must not say they are. No, proceed. I'm going to loan the mic.
So this presentation is about the pre-audited outcome of the public works, roads and transport departments of insolvencies.
But talk to them about roads. They are specific roads. They are not public roads.
Okay.
This is the National Department of Roads.
Okay.
Do you have anything on that? No.
I've got one title, but it's got more detail on road infrastructure.
Can you? No. Look, if you don't have that, let's allow them to talk to their presentation. Then you will comment. You come in later after the presentation. Can any one of you then lead in terms of your submission?
Yes.
But you've got only one copy, and that is for me. It is very thick. They always present very thick stuff. Let me see. We're not speaking to the background. We don't speak to the. Over the last 7 years, we don't speak to that. We're not interested in that. 7 years. No. Thank you. Powertrain, rapid link, mid range, accountability, achievements. No. Annual report. No. Construction annual report, no. Annual report, no. Physical progress, no. On Gautrain, you're going to speak on page 8. And then, May. And then you.
I brought a copy for themselves. Each one of them has got a copy. Yes.
This
is what they're supposed to be presenting to.
They have no copy.
Copies are coming. How good
I'm told copies are coming. How long are they going to take before they get here?
How they suppose that they would have given
us? Yeah.
They know what
the copies are coming.
Yeah.
Only the presenter amongst them must have something. You will start on page 8. All this background, the 7 year things and other things, we're not interested in. We're talking third and fourth quarter 2007. Yes, not the whole picture of the other years. And then Gauteng, that's you start on page 8, and then there's another introduction. We're not interested in this introduction on page 10. We might be interested to no. This one extends to 2011. We're not interested in that discussion. And then what's going on here? Capital expenditures at 38 March. Yeah, 31 March 2008. Yeah. We're interested there. And then Committed funds on page 14, we have an interest there. Your medium-term budgeting challenges. There's another thank you. There are many thank yous here. Then, Royal Bafokeng is coming up again. And then Peter Mkaba is coming up again. Mbombela is coming up again. Winelands. Bloemfontein is here again. R30. Is this not a provincial road? Bloemfontein contract.
They are under the province, but they are being managed by Samba, our national agency.
Is that true? Is that bad?
Yeah.
I use that road, that's why I'm asking. Is it true? Okay. Then, Gauteng Improvement Freeway. Conclusion. Then, you know what we're interested in? Is the PGIS. It's the PGIS. Page 25. I think that's the only thing we're interested in this whole presentation. The Scoutrain and the PGIS. All the other documentation is wasteful spending. So let's talk about Gautrain and the PGIS. Gautrain and the PGIS only. Not all the other things that are here.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, well, I think the committee has asked that we bring the line manager to that deal with it.
No, no, it's fine.
Yes, that's why we're starting to deal with Gautrain and then on the PGIS and you will give me the information.
Good. Gautrain?
Yes. In terms of Division of Revenue Act,
it was really nice for people, isn't it? It was really not, but you know,
introduce everybody.
Okay. Why should you introduce myself? I'm Colin Flitzer. I'm the DDG for Financial Services in the Department of Transport. I'm representing the PQ who cannot be with us unfortunately.
I'm Khatani Maluleke, Acting Director for Rail Operating, responsible for HRTC account.
I'm Dan Pretorius, CFO, Department of Transport.
I'm Theo Meyer. I'm a Chief Director Rail in the department, particularly responsible for Gautrain.
I'm in the business of the link, HMDDC for roads, or PCIS.
Okay, Litwako, did I speak to you yesterday?
Yes.
Where is that list I was asking for?
There. What has happened is that there were a couple of developments on it, and what we have then said is that...
Let me have a list. Thank you very much. Proceed then on Gautrain.
Okay, thank you. In terms of the Division of Revenue Act, the national government decided to provide funding for the Gautrain through a conditional grant. During the 2007-2008 financial year, 3.029 billion rand was allocated. In the first two quarters, 1 billion, just about 1 billion of the 3.029 billion was spent. In the third quarter, 1.84 billion rand was spent, and in the fourth quarter, only 182 million was spent. The total amount of 3.029 was transferred to the province and spent on the construction of the Gautrain. One of the reasons why the spending is a bit skewed
where you have in the third quarter almost two-thirds of the money being spent, was that initially it was decided to use private sector borrowing to fund the project in the first few months, and then later on the conditional grant then will kick in.
All right. That's how it is. Yes, my friend.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to add that the total spending for the Gautrain for 7-8 was 4.5 million billion, of which 3 billion is coming from the National Transport Department, and the other 1.5 billion was carried against the Gautrain provincial revenue.
Okay. That's Gautrain. Any comments, clarities, Madam Robinson, on Gautrain?
Yeah, that I think we haven't heard the end of that yet, but the tunnel has stopped collapsing. The tunnel boring machine is still continuing. There are different reasons being given as to why the tunnel collapsed, but they are confident that would not affect the progress with the tunnel boring machine.
Any other questions? Robinson, I don't hear. If the chairperson does not hear, he will rule on the question. What were you saying?
I was just wondering that whether the tunnel is going to hold high speed train that just got a couple
of concerns about. Okay. Any other question? Mr. Sokol?
No, there's no I think the question is one that you know, I'm glad you did not see Madam Robinson. Madam Robinson and myself, I'm here not our color when it came to you. You know, we rely on you maybe that you were late to us. What is this thing? Life is here, so we don't have to say. I know that you are speaking about the amount that of debt, and I just did not see it.
No, let me repeat. Can you repeat what you're saying about confirming? He did not hear, they did not hear what you are saying.
What I said is that the national government contributed $3 billion for the Gautrain, and the provincial government $1.5 billion. So it's total allocation of $4.5 billion for the 7-8 year, of which $4.1 billion was spent. So the full amount was spent for the conditional grant, but there is still some funds left over on the equitable share portion of $400 million.
Okay. But in terms of the conditions, you will correct me for the Gautrain, was that not only government was going to contribute. I'm not sure if I'm correct in that, and private sector was also supposed to contribute certain amount. Are they coming to the party? And if so, how much of this
okay.
Jefferson, yes, the private sector is contributing. The government, either through national or provincial funding, is contributing about 88% of the total cost of the project, whereas private sector equity contributes about 0.5 billion. And private sector debt contributes about 10% of the total cost of the project. So the private sector ultimately will contribute about 12% of the total cost, and the government 88%. To date, all the private sector lending has been utilized. So that 10%, which comes from borrowing, has been utilized in the 2007-2008 financial year.
Okay. I've seen the, I see the pictures here. They look fancy and beautiful.
I'm saying, I struggled to go to the airport, you know, let alone Rivonia, your Oxford Street,
when Dr. Matola Musa was the premier, when he said Fatima was going to the construction site one day, he did a construction site. You know, if you're going to the airport, you must go there on time.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're going to struggle. But are you on time?
And
when I was, when did we expect
according to the concession agreement, which I must stress is a fixed price, fixed specification, and fixed time frame contract, the first train should start running in June 2010. At the moment, the project, or the event we could have seen that we're talking about 2007-2008, at the end of March 2008, the project was about 46% complete against a projected completion date of 52%. So it is in delay. The project, depending on which tool you use to measure it, is anything between 2.5 and 4 months in delay. But both parties, both the province and Bombela, are very confident that they would be able to mitigate the delay. In fact, Bombela has already introduced a number of measures to attempt to mitigate the delay. For instance, they've put into use a third launching girder, which they use to place the segments on the viaduct. So they've, in other words, increased their capacity by one-third. Actually, 50%, because they only had two of them beforehand. Then they also introduced an additional production line at the precast yard so that they can increase the rate of casting those deck segments so that they can produce enough to supply the launching girder. And they've also instituted ships at many of the construction sites. And it is interesting to note that at the moment they're working on 52 different construction sites at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's with your permission. Can
just raise your voice with my permission.
Yeah, can I just give the situation after the first quarter with regards to how trains payment?
Do that.
Okay, the conditional grant portion is 3.3 billion. Of that, the National Transport Department did transfer 1.6 billion, and the provincial transport department indicated that they have spent 2.4 billion after the first quarter.
No, let's. No, don't worry, that's the first quarter now.
Yeah.
We're talking third and fourth quarter of the last financial year, but that's fine. For the first quarter, we will deal with that later, not today.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Right, PTIS. Oh, Mr. Mkali, before that.
Yeah, thanks. It's likely just an operation. So this was agreed with my friend. The date is highlighted by the president. The 5th of June. Not too close to the maximum of uses of the sensitive. So come the World Cup, we'll still be having teething problems.
When the World Cup comes, you'll have trains that are stuck, trains that are not moving, and so on. You're right. It's very close. Some people would be learning to drive that thing. correct. Some of them will be getting used to the stations and other things. I mean, you're right, but I mean that's the way it is. It has been. That is the target date, unfortunately.
Yes, as I said earlier, it's a fixed time frame project.
Yes.
So that was the date that was agreed in the concession agreement. There are penalties for late completion, and there are also bonuses for early completion. So it is in the interest of the concessionaire to to try and attempt. And I'm pretty sure they are very aware of the pressure to complete the project in time for smooth operation during the World Cup.
All right. The PGIS.
Thank you.
PGIS is on slide 29, 30.
On the slide number?
Yes.
Not on the same number. 25.
20? I'm saying in this thing before me, PGIS starts on page 30. Slide 30, I mean. And PGIS project. Mangaung, Johannesburg, Cape Town, Nelson Mandela Bay, Polokwane, and then it starts talking to Polokwane and Mbombela. Don't you have this thing?
I have it. I think it's
number. Let me give you this. No, let me loan you mine. That's right. Oh. What page is it? 26. No, I still have to rule whether the slide is the right one.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. Looking at the expenditure of funds,
yeah, no, you're right.
The department was allocated a budget of 13.6 billion, which spans over a period of 6 years. Today, under the yellow column 2809, we have a budget of 3.4 billion. The next slide there shows the quarterly expenditure pattern. The blue one, which is the budget that has been allocated, been made available. And the orange one is the expenditure, the disbursement of that budget to respective committees. The next slide, which is titled Capital Expenditure Per Month Cumulative, the department today on that amount of 1.174 billion has spent or committed, let me say committed, 100% of the budget. The breakdown in terms of transparency on the next slide, where we're having list of municipalities. The amount that has been transferred is total or amounts to 1.17 billion, and it also shows up to March 2008 financial year, the spending pattern to municipality in the second column. The last column is the percentage there. If you go to the next slide, it shows the different quarter, which is April to June, spending pattern. There's a movement, if you look at the last column, there's an improvement. If you compare to the last slide, it was Johannesburg, it spent the allocation thereof, it spent 34 now. The current figure, performance, financial performance is standing at 41%. You go to the next one, which is planning, initially it was 4%. I think that was very, very poor. Then now it is, I'm sure that is not, the next one is Nelson Mandela at 47%. But comparative speaking, we also say they performed well because their last amount of 23%, now they have moved to 47%. Next on that very slide, you are hitting the last index, which now is, which was at 7%, it is 7%, and it's still at 7% this quarter. I must indicate upfront that there are certain struggling municipalities, and there's an intergovernmental task team. Comprising of minister, MEC, executive mayor of the respective municipality. The whole idea is to intervene and put the Kabarak claim and the median action so that the financial performance and work median can improve. So the cities that are really struggling, for even Bombela, Rakhine, Mangalore, Bundokwane, Kwane, so it's six cities that are struggling, that are not performing. And this is a performing. So there's an intervention mechanism in place made up of politicians, executive heads of respective organizations.
I so can you write Cape Town and perform.
According to this record.
Yeah. What's it?
Proceed.
Last month it was. See. So the question is yeah, I'm saying proceed. We will come back to the questions. But we were just noting that you have this biasness for Cape Town.
So the performance of Cape Town in the last quarter was at 32%. Now it has moved to 36%. It's slightly more. Look at Mbombela. Mbombela is at 24%. Now it has moved to 55%. So what I'm trying to indicate is that there's some improvement in the data, but the area where we really have to intervene. And today, there's a system in place of this. The next slide that is mainly listing growth projects that are benefiting from the CPI. And the details of the project has been Polokwane. Improvement of infrastructure relating to World Cup is being focused on the upgrading of airports and the road construction. The road construction is on site. Public transport facilities.
You know where you must go to now. Because Lenda by said Pulukwane, you know, we're from Pulukwane not long ago. That thing is not there, Landichwa. You can go to.
What you are seeing there, those are four projects under PCIF for Pulukwane. And it is upgrading of airport, public transport facility, and then non motorized infrastructure, rehabilitation, care of the night training. Going to. Nice in Bombela. At the stadium, it's Matasim, stadium system, improvement thereof. Airport is high efficiency, racial lane, interchange facility. Then you have infection of transportation in process. Then, Krasimbet at the next city. Focus is on cooking stadium system. Integrated practice public transport network across Nassau, public park and ride facilities and operational plan. China also has four projects in doctors, website, airport access points, BRT, bus rapid transport corridors, and operational plan. Itekuni is the road junction, the inner city distribution, intelligent. Transport system and carbon demand management model that has been developed. Stadium system, Western Freeway, public transport system, and operational transport system. Under Nelson Mandela, Wallingham 5 is to learn the active corridor, public transport facilities and interchange, and most of the infrastructure, and various growth upgrades, and the environment. And they will be completed before the World Cup. And operations. Mangalim, Wahili and Yabet Street, traditionalization program, public transport system, which is part of the intermodal facility upgrading. Mangalim, activity provision, operational training, and integrated with public transport, including the BRT.
Johannesburg. The intervention there includes Kuyabaya, DRC,
Inner City. Can you talk about Amatoli and KSD?
There's a memorandum of agreement that has been signed, and there are delays in regards to the spending of the money that has been budgeted. And for Amatoro, the same design are currently underway. The spending pattern for Amatoro is also being joined under investment. And performance, financial performance is affected in the current period. Team Sabata not spending on the current process because of the spending.
Do you know these places? King Sabata and Amatoli district. Have you ever been there?
I've been there on different missions.
No, no, it's fine. I just wanted to check whether you know. No, that's fine. All right. There we are. That's the PTIS. Again, hugely underperforming. For almost every area. Even the biggest city in Africa, Johannesburg. Spending is 34%. Comments? Clarity? I don't think people really need this money. I think that's the sense I have. Mr. Soka.
Thank you for the presentation. This program started in 2015. I can remember that it was the last call the man in the last call with the because we had to be there because the party. But the rest is not there. There was nothing. And today, DDG, the acting DDG, said now there's progress. We have to wait for them.
You're busy now talking to Mr. Sokon in my meeting. Prophet.
We are not, but we do realize
by the way, I will allow this gentleman next to you. He's also a specialist on road issues from National Treasure. Questions, Mr. Sobon?
My question was really the question. Since inception of this program, and now, when we hear that now, that there is some interministerial, what they call the
intergovernmental,
what they call it, discussions that are taking place to rescue this population. And then the question is, this on the area,
this program, where it is conducted as a right thing. I'm not sure what type of evaluation you have made in looking at the program that is taking place. You have given it to municipalities. Clearly, there are challenges.
Maybe so, Mr. Sogon, the question is, what are the real challenges in respect of implementing this thing?
So maybe that's one question, but also to say, man, is it at the right place where it is? Should it be located where it is currently resides now with municipalities? Is it the right place where it is? I'm not sure if that type of evaluation has been done. Not at the first place, I mean, when we hear that Marshall and Tracy, that happens to them, yes. Unfortunately, if you put them here, our eyes will fall on them, we see. But generally, even if you put them away, I mean, looking at the other municipalities, the improvements that Tracy seem to be saying are there. I mean, if places like Tranmere, for instance, can get 41 set right,
Madam, this is why I'm asking the question. Do we think these municipalities really need this money? And maybe then that question, for instance, at this right place thing, but also, are these projects in line with IDPs? Are they really in line with IDPs? But secondly, why are you allocating when people are under spending? Surely you should be withholding. Why are you really transferring when people are consistently under spending? Over to you.
This has been informed by
I think that maybe you need to monitor. I'm saying the question is,
who is responsible for delivering this?
Is it the municipality?
Because it's my municipality.
And if this
project are supposed to be delivered by
and then other municipalities the right location for delivering this project in terms of the question that the chairperson has raised. Because for us, we don't think that the terrorist municipality should be delivering this. Maybe another sphere could take this responsibility, whether it's the provinces taking this responsibility. It's not for those questions that the chairperson has raised in the provinces, because there is that continuous what we call the understanding, which could have implications of a target date that we with respect to finish this program. And our understanding when this was introduced was that this was just the kind of this would have later to be spread to all the what we call it throughout the country. But for now, so that is the question that I'm asking. So whether the municipality has the right to deliver this project.
And whether these municipalities seriously see these things as priorities such that they would therefore perform properly. Because really, Mr. Sogon is right. I mean, if they were really properly located, why this consistent understanding? Year in and year out.
Okay.
Yes, madam, we'll come back to you, sir.
Going back to the location of the function of the provincial assembly, when you are saying is the whole city that has been identified and then had it an agreement with the municipal council, including the city. We have to
prepared this method to do constitutional function. If we are putting to the process function, we say transport is a shared constituency, but according to the minister's decision, that certain function is very much the other decision. And some of these functions are well defined in the division of revenue and other findings and findings, such as MIT, which is called Interpreter Plans and Interpreter. Because of such constitutional and financial legislative instruments, municipalities are approaching by law.
Mapho ke siyayazi la inkinga is we know what you just said. The problem is there is no movement forward in terms of performing. You've even established an intergovernmental forum. Assumption was that these people, I mean, Johannesburg is a very high capacity municipality. Tshwane is very high capacity. Tekwini, Cape Town, but all of them on this one are underperforming. That is the issue we want to talk about here.
Yeah.
We understand the assignments and powers, etc. Bottom line is all of these are underperforming here. So how are we dealing with that, madam?
I can see that.
You know, it's going to come in.
Yes, itching. But also, Jefferson, I hear the argument that is being raised. I think that BPG knows as much as we do. That's right. In any municipality, there's a road that is provincial, there's a road that is national. And it doesn't mean that because that road is there, it becomes not the function of somebody else. It remains a provincial road or a national road. And these are what they call the functions are really special, what they call these are special projects. That is why I'm saying, so has evaluation been done?
What's it, Mama?
Let me go back to the issue of linking ICT and the capacity of when the 2010 agreement was signed, postcities were requested to submit their priority statements, key projects. And those key projects are linked to provincial growth and development. They need to talk to them. They also have to respond to the IDP, Integrated Development Program. So they submitted the priority list for projects that need to be undertaken for the government. Based on that, that is part of the privatization. But then with them not spending, it's mainly about technical capacity. That's the matter, which affects their training, undertaking design, because design for construction work that need to be performed. And because of such shortage of skills.
Now, what are you doing about that, yourself and the provincial department?
The intergovernmental task team is mainly established to reprioritize the area which were identified or indicated on the whole city priority in terms of scaling them down or streamlining them to the critical intervention which could be implemented within the coming 24 months. That is what the intervention is going to do. But also there's a team of technical experts that has been employed to assist and facilitate. So I've just put our monitoring evaluation instrument in place. Even if this is still a...
Why did you put it so late, the monitoring and evaluation?
I think it's part of an arrangement.
Is it part of what is better late than never? Is that what you're saying? Because you're putting in place now monitoring and evaluation so late. We are saying historically this money has been underperforming.
Yeah.
you are starting now in 2008 to put in place what you are saying. All along, this thing has been underperforming. The issue is, why are you doing it so late? Is it because you are saying better late than never?
No, sir. I think it's about tightening what is there.
You're tightening late is my, that's my issue. Tightening late. Mm-hmm. Because many people are skeptical about South Africa being ready for 2010. And so you're putting in place now, you're blocking holes. You're just stop gap measures, essentially. What's it? Okay. Mr. Lipa?
Yeah, Chair. I think some of the issues have got to be put into context. For instance, I mean, Johannesburg is not necessarily understanding if you were to look at the work that they are doing. They are on cost.
Then it means this report is wrong.
No, the report is in terms of the financial spending that happened.
That is the point. It's not telling the financial.
Yes, but Chair, the issue is Johannesburg uses an agency to go through what they are doing on the road. So what happens is they will do a road. It is still, there is a process that goes through before the actual money can go and say this is the money that we need. That was our concern. We say when we look at that, Tuan was one of the things that we looked at, and we said because it's a metro, probably the same what is happening in Johannesburg is happening. When we went to Tuan, we realized that in fact there is a problem in Tuan, hence we are intervening. There are the first people that we have seen on that. There was an issue, and I think we must put it into context. Yesterday when we talked to the National Treasurer, and I want them to come in because this is very important. There's an issue about the way PTI has granted has been managed over the period. And what has happened is that there was an insistence that this money must go to local government, and we excluded provinces in making sure that they monitor all those things that was happening on the ground. And I think Treasurer must come and be honest about it. Because when we went and signed, that's why now we are saying we want this internet, because the National Treasurer is going to be part of it. Because we were saying, to facilitate this process where we can actually go and monitor these things, it takes also provinces to be included. For instance, there are certain roads that link to, as the gentleman has said, that there are certain roads that link to the stadium precinct that belong to provinces. That because of PTIS was located strictly to deal with issues that were in relation to municipalities and forgot about provinces. There are provincial roads that are part of that. And now, all of a sudden, they've been left out. And in 24 months, we are starting to realize that, you know, when we talk to provinces, they say we don't have money to do this thing because money was going straight to provinces, and we have got provincial roads that we have got to deal with, which is why we insist that now we need to have that team working, and we have been working. I think it is Transport Lokoja has taken a decision to say, should we want to be able to make sure that we are ready for 2010, we need those interventions. And part of it is just to go to those municipalities and make sure that we are going to involve provinces in that. And that's the nature of PTIS, the way it was designed. And surely, I mean, I think it was an oversight for whether it's on our coalition or something that we have got to discuss, but the issue is we must be ready 2010.
So, I'm sorry, sir. What do you say,
Mr. Chairman? I'm saying
we have got to see this in a context, that's one. Two, PTIS, the
what,
way it was
what
designed.
What context are you talking about?
The context is that When we talk Johannesburg and we say that the ability of Johannesburg to spend, when we look at that figure and not conceptualize it in the issue of saying that it's money that has been spent already, work that has already been done, and it's seen as a crisis. Johannesburg is not necessarily a crisis. I'm saying we have identified the ones that are crisis, and NG has identified those and she has talked to those, and we are intervening in those that are crisis at this point. And I'm saying PTIS, the way it was designed, it was designed in such a way that it left provinces and the monitoring process of provinces on those municipalities. And we are saying we are intervening going forward. Because obviously, I mean, you are right to say probably we reacted late. Yes, it's something that we must take, but we are doing something about it to make sure that we are ready 2010. So we are saying these figures are going to improve substantially going in. Probably we should come back in the next 6 months and be able to show you what our interventions have resulted in.
See, it is, Mr. Letswako, what you are saying. that we've been watching the performance of EPTIS from day one. Now, man, it's not getting better. Now you're putting your head on the block. Now, let me just then remind you, when you put your head on the block in a parliamentary committee meeting, it's a very serious matter, because we will come back to you. That's what we use in the committee and committees of parliament. There's something called Powers, Immunities and Privileges Act. So that if you're misleading us, we will hold you for perjury. As you're saying, then we take your word. Bishoba.
Sir. I don't think it is proper for us as department to fight in front of the committee.
No, no! Listen, let me also put the proper context. When you fight, it means the truth is coming out. But if you don't fight, it means you're misleading us. Proceed and fight.
Okay. PTIS is not, I'm from the Intergovernmental Relations Committee, and PTIS is managed as public finance. But the transfer
public
is
finance.
Made as public finance, dealing with national transport. And to be honest, National Transport is administering this grant, in as much as we are administering the infrastructure grant.
Mm.
So the process of administering the infrastructure grant is based on provincial road infrastructure plans from province. Now they submit project list. We have been asking the National Transport Department to say we have road infrastructure plans. Now we don't know what is the strategic road network, what is the primary road network, because that is a national transport definition. Here are project plans from provinces. Engage with them whether they do submit to what you require them to do. Like Gamu, Tabiso, Matlaswell, Balakle in transport are people who are dealing with those things. Right. They submit those projects with budget, what we monitor. Whether they're in out of tune with PTIS, that is the role of Transport Department to say, why don't you prioritize these roads because they are linked to the World Cup and so forth. And they have not been coming to the party. Now, I'm here then to defend National Treasure, but National Treasure has nothing to do with under expenditure of this
PTIN.
And Chairperson, I know that the minister will be presenting the local government and expenditure report. Transport chapter is there. You will see what is going on, the trend in the transport sector. And my view is that there is no engagement from the national department with either the province and local authorities to make sure that this project list really tallies with what is expected and what kind of intervention then that needs to be done. And it has nothing to do with National Treasury. We perform oversight on finances and the project is submitted. And if they don't perform, we then have to stop the infrastructure plan. But the PTIS, the transport, must then really tell you the truth. There's nothing to do with National Treasury.
Let's talk.
Chair, I think it's good that we put our head on the block. I'm confident. We talked about this issue yesterday. PTIS is not managed a transport. We have asked this thing yesterday. We said
Lalef.
Yes.
Can anybody give me a copy of Division of Revenue Bill Munch? This is Lung Sulitwako.
I suppose that it was within the department.
No, it was not.
We have asked that can we manage this thing on our side? We have asked for that. It's not managed on our side.
No, I mean, as well. You see, I've said you are putting your head on the block. unnecessarily, because we hear this for the first time from you guys. I've said to you, we've dealt with this for some period now. And this story you're telling us has never, was never raised here. And by the way, every department that is appearing here with the Division of Revenue never says, who are we dealing with earlier? USPORT. USPORT did not say IMASPORT is administered by National Treasury. They were here. UDWAF is not going to say water subsidy is managed by National Treasury. It is money given to them and their votes. There's something wrong then if you're telling us a story which we don't believe in today. That National Treasury is... National Treasury is here to talk on the IGP, which they administer as the grant that relates to roads infrastructure in provinces. You are here to speak on this PTIS. That is your baby. And so it can be about administration by National Treasury. The issue is, Nina have been doing what you've got to do. In fact, even the budget as it grows in the MTF is on the basis of your own motivation all the time. And so don't engage, therefore, in discussion that says administration. All what you need to do, Nina Manj, let me just rule, is that you go back and ensure, because the first thing, let's talk about the PTIS. Before we even talk about integration, let's talk about PTIS. We have been saying and we're saying it has been understanding. And this piece of legislation is clear about people understanding. It says you withhold. And this is the question we're raising. Why do you continuously give people, and this is why I was saying earlier, do these people need this money for themselves? And by the way, these are not poor municipalities. That's one of the good things about this thing. We're not talking about MIG, we're not talking about IGP, we're talking about the PTIS. The MIG is going to be responded to by DVLG tomorrow. What we're saying here is that this money is understanding as we look at it now. The issues then, the coordination, the other things, the issues that you must deal with. What we want to know, Tina, what is it that you are doing about this consistent understanding? You are proceeding and saying you are on track and on track and on track. We don't see the track in the finances, Tina, in terms of the report presented to you in front of us, man. That is the big issue for us. Yes, talk to that.
It would be misleading to say things are going well, and we have said that. We have identified municipalities, Chair, that seem not to be on track in terms of the things that we are doing. We talked about Bulukwan, we talked Mahaung, we talked Mombela, we talked Rustenburg, we talked Nelson Mandela. And we are saying we have put a team together to intervene, because when we went and looked, I mean, Tuan is one of them, I think, Tuan is the sixth one. We went in and we checked and we said, how far? In fact, we went to a point where we say, when you say this road is this far, can we go and see the road itself and see that work is actually being done? Which is why I'm saying we are happy with Johannesburg that everything is on course. When it comes to the others, when we looked at it, they were not on course. And hence we are intervening. The interdepartmental task team that is multi-sphere that the National Treasury is going to be involved in is meant to resolve that issue. Because when we looked at that and we looked at what people have spent, we realized that in fact we are running into a crisis mode and we do not want that. And that's what we are saying. We are not saying, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that no, everything has been going when it's going well. I think it would be misleading to say that.
Okay. You know what we must do? I want to plead. Let me plead with them. No, let's plead this way. Let's hold this way. Can we plead with you to go back CFO. Johannesburg included, please. Let's not take things for granted. Especially now that you've got this structure. I'm saying let's also look holistically at all of them. Okay? Let's go back and look at, firstly, you see, because part of the problem, the plans that we're talking about here essentially are local plans. Okay? Precincts, etc., etc. Those are local plans. And this is why I'm worried personally. Before you even talk IGP, which becomes a broader issue, let's first look at this thing for each municipality. The credibility of the plans and so on and so on and so on. The issues of the capacity, as the acting individual was saying. Let's look at the whole picture. Is everybody really geared, for instance, to be able to spend this money? That's the one issue. So that we then are going to be able then to talk MIG link. How do you link MIG to PTIS? How do you link IGP to PTIS? So I'm just saying, let's firstly go and evaluate this money. I think Mr. Sokon was right. Evaluate this money. And therefore, what are the stumbling blocks in implementing this money first? And are we also not at the level of municipalities now doing some funny... Because let's also... Because you are right, MOUs and other things could be written, signed. But people are not committed to those things. Let's also check whether there are really treating these things as serious priorities. And then, finally, therefore, in the context of the intergovernmental forum, how do then these monies link to the other monies that are in the system? So that then you also reduce duplication, if you like. You don't want to see PTIS doing what MIG is supposed to do, for instance. But there must be linked, finally, all of them. But let's also appeal, please, let's appeal. You see, we've been dealing with municipalities ourselves. 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, we were in Polokwane. One of the things we've picked up, there is a deliberate question we always ask to municipalities. Whether IDPs are aligned to provincial growth and development strategy. And they give you a simple answer. They say yes. And we say wrong. Because in their submissions, they always contend that sector departments are not participating in the IDP processes. And so, there can't be alignment if people are not participating. Now, what then happens is that a municipality does an IDP without the sector department. The next thing, this IDP is approved. By the way, when it's approved by council, it becomes a legal document. That is big gap in terms of the infrastructure issues that must be put in place. And then, this copy is then sent to sector departments to comment. You know what happens? Then sector departments parachute projects. Roads, schools, clinics. They are not in line with IDP. They are just there because people have money to spend. And we want to avoid this thing because they have money for PTIS. People should not just spend, but there must be. And this is why we want to plead that you should not send your submissions to National Treasury and vice versa. You should be sitting all of yourselves together and planning. Talking, insulting each other about these things, raising people's misunderstanding about all of these things, because finally we must resolve these things. But surely when all of us are under one roof, planning together, we then would be able to say, this 1 billion rand must go this route, this 2 billion we don't need here, it's duplicating. I'm just pleading that. Let's not say administration and other things. Let's all of you go back and talk. And if you pick up the problems of administrative issues, resolve them. Resolve them. We did pick this thing up ourselves a year ago in terms of the same division of revenue. When departments, and this is why I was saying it's nice when departments start talking it's the way you are talking. Dwarf was here saying Section 16 of DORA is wrong. We said we are not interested in your own egos. We are going to legislate, but go and resolve your problem. They did resolve and send us a letter to the fact that they have resolved the problem. I'm saying the practical things and the other things, but strategically, I think let's ask you. For instance, how then would this plan, PTIS plan, relate to IGP, to MIG tomorrow? I mean, you won't be part of the discussion tomorrow, PPLG. It would be nice to have you guys again talking to those issues, because we've got to find linkages in terms of all of these matters. Classification of roads is your responsibility nationally and provincially. We are not even asking whether some of those roads have been classified, because that's another area that has its own problem. But all what we are pleading for, please, whilst you are saying you are happy with Joburg, I'm pleading that don't just be happy and be complacent. Go back, have a look at. You see, we're raising this because where we are seated, Gauteng has its own problems, we know. Now we therefore cannot be happy. I mean, if Joburg is better than Tshwane, then it means there's a big problem. Again, it's a matter that we've been watching carefully. So please take all of these things back, engage with these municipalities. In fact, we might also want to, I'm not sure, we might want to also call another meeting. I'm not sure when.
Yeah.
With these municipalities and yourselves under one roof to talk about this performance of this PTIS. I mean, if you're looking at 24%, I mean, it has always been precarious all the time. And Matole has its own problems. We know as a committee, we've been to that problem. KSD has its own problem. And again, you're throwing money to problems. And there seems to be no lessons learned. Maybe these are some of the problems. And this is why I was asking whether the acting DDG is familiar with this. Okay? There's so much money spent in that province on roads, for instance. We don't see the roads in that province ourselves. Last year they spent 2.3 billion on roads. We don't see them drive through that province. But we are also happy with the kind of information you've provided here in terms of the submission, because there are matters we shall have to pick up with the provincial departments that appear in terms of some of the roads that you have given in terms of the submission here, which is going to be very useful as we engage with some of the provincial departments. Mr. Sokol.
Thank you, Chair, for the clarity that you said. But also, I think I would like to confirm the suggestion that the person that maybe it will be proper to invite the people so that I can decide it with the department as a problem. But it's clear that is the department. Your division of revenue says that current department is 1.4%. It is not in between. It's very straightforward. So I think that it will be proper to do that, so that we can check as to, I mean, together we can try to find their solution. But I think that the meeting that was referred to around the MEPs and maybe if we, I'm sure by that time they would have met and.
No.
Tell us to come up with also another focus
Maybe we are also culprits ourselves, because you are right, we need to prioritize this particular issue. And so we've got to call especially this department in respect of both Gautrain and PTIS, so that we just have a very close look at that, closely. And you are correct in that. Madam, you are so agitated. You know, when I was saying, I was ruling and closing the meeting. And so say what you've got to say.
Okay, I'm trying to really to share my sentiments today. Yourself here. You say you have little right, and you acknowledge some of the critical challenges, underlying challenges, and which are not really visible to some of us. But also, at the center of these challenges, the issue of alignment is a challenge of utmost importance. Alignment within the department in terms of part of the delay, that explains.
And continuity in your department.
And
continuity. Was this thing was handled by Mike Ozom? in before you in the same department. Proceed.
So I'm trying to indicate the areas of limitation. Alignment internally where PTIA is to be aligned to public transportation plan.
Correct.
Alignment with our strategic road network, which is in that presented in that document, which form a link in terms of a network functionality. To say again, that real alignment currently now was stuck because certain critical roads fall under the provinces and cannot be funded by CCIA. And we are pleading that perhaps there should be some exemption that part of CID could be. But what I'm trying to emphasize is really alignment within programs, alignment within budgetary processes, and alignment across
the That's why we have ruled that from next week, start talking amongst yourselves. Go back to the drawing board so that this very same alignment is realized. There are huge problems of misalignment. Egoistic issues, people not talking to each other because I'm in the Department of Roads, I can't talk to Treasury, I'm in health, I don't talk to education, and so on and so on. It's not about individuals, it's about the good of the country. I want to see those soccer stars right in this country, not in Australia. I don't want to see them on TV. And so we are all reliant on you guys to ensure that all of these things are happening. Thank you very much for coming. And by the way, thank you for this list, but I'm worried because you're saying this is a preliminary list. It should be a comprehensive list because you made a submission to us that said the state of affairs. But then we are happy because some of these provinces were disputing what you are saying here. Because we are saying to them, this is an opportunity for some of those roads to be taken over free of charge and be constructed and maintained. But they were saying, no. I mean, Northwest was here already yesterday, you remember, colleagues. So here is the list. And there are five. It's KZN, eh? You are saying here the bulk of the outstanding network to be transferred are roads in this province. And yet HOD KZN was disputing this thing big time. I'm happy for the list. You are saying the province has been difficult with regard to negotiations for the transfer of the roads and has not successfully engaged with SANRAL. Now, the Free State, you're not saying much on the Free State. Is it part of those that are also?
No, most of the issue, I think the speaking one was KZN, and you would remember the issue about Gauteng and the R21. So those ones were resolved. So the only one that is remaining really is KZN.
KZN only?
Most, yeah. So all
hang on, I'm going to read. Okay. The Western Cape delayed due to the concern that the roads in question are maintained by in-house division.
Yeah, because they say that if they have to move them to Sandra, then those will lose jobs.
All right. Counting minor outstanding amount of votes. Is that it, the issue?
Yeah.
Then Northwest still awaiting the finalization of letters. And they were talking too much here. That they would want to grab that opportunity. And then, fine. Thanks for this list. We will be calling them and talking to them about this matter. Right. IGP, National Treasury.
Yes.
What is that? Is IGP and what? You can leave us. Do we want to have lunch or do we want to engage with these chefs? No, I'm just asking so that we then deal with them.
Agreed with the first question before you continue.
No, let me hear what the lady, the boss, has been saying. These chefs have some flights to catch, man. So let's give them 2 minutes each.
Okay.
Right. Thank you. IGP?
Chapter Valentine of IGP in 2007-8 financial year.
transferred were made to provinces.
Par officiel le document ak sinom ni yiss IGP.
I didn't prepare a specific document.
Oh,
because we didn't. But I thought this will cover because.
Let me see.
It's more on the roads infrastructure. Because IGP supplements.
Okay.
So.
Nice, fine. Let me look at that.
You know,
I'll just fly us through then. It's fine.
Yes.
IGP is health, education, and roads. And to an extent, agriculture. Okay.
So two provinces are not transferring for agriculture. That is Western Cape and KZN.
Okay.
But as we know, 40% is for roads and education, according to our recommendation. So 80% is roads and education, and health is 13%.
13?
Yes.
Okay.
And 7% is agriculture.
Okay.
Education is 4%.
Yes. But then, as you know, when the grants arrive at the province, then the province, in certain instances, they say we have challenges, maybe more in education, than they add maybe 50% of that. And like, as Eastern Cape in previous years, they were taking all the grants to roads and not allocating to them. So basically what has happened is that almost 98% of the grant was transferred last year. In Mpumalanga, we are still withholding 138 million because of poor performance in education and health. It was under expenditure. And we have engaged with them to say what are the reasons and what are their commitments before we can then transfer the money. They've come back to us with various, they've made three submissions. One, they're saying that some equipment in hospitals, like boilers, are not working. So they want to buy boilers and some drainage systems with the money. Now the question is whether a boiler is equipment or is infrastructure. And if it is equipment, then there is money for equipment, not for infrastructure. And I think the decision taken within National Treasury was that you need to wait and see their capacity in this financial year. Because as we know, the nature of infrastructure is that some projects cannot be finished in one financial year and transfer. So what has happened is that maybe when we come in the first quarter, what is interesting is that Mpumalanga in education infrastructure is performing very well in the first quarter. They spent 80% of their infrastructure. So we have engaged with them because we are withholding their money for last year to what now they are doing, you know, in terms of turnaround budget. And what is shocking is that expenditure in this financial year is driven by projects that were constructed in 2004. So they are paying for 2004 projects in 2008 or 2009 allocation. We engage with them, we've asked for invoices, and we need them to go and see those schools, but there's a huge gap. Then logically it means that there's a backlog for 2005, 2006, 2007, and 2008. So we are not convinced that things are okay in Mpumalanga. But overall, provinces have spent, the overall expenditure is more than in infrastructure, more than 94%. And the expectation is that once those audited financial statements are done, we expect that the expenditure will be more than 100%. across provinces. The other challenge that we have is that Public Works, because it's an implementing agent, is some provinces are saying they take their time before they finalize payments. So payments are made after the reporting has been done. So if you receive the first quarter, like in KZN, they're saying the report would show under expenditure. And when you engage them, they're saying no, the problem is Public Works, because they submit invoices outside the reporting mechanism. So that's another challenge that we are having. So, but about anything, the only man that we are holding for that is 188 for Mada. And we are not sure whether to transfer the money back to them, even what has transpired.
No, you know what? There's a problem in terms of what you're seeing. And that problem is, and it's a matter we did raise with Maddie Cheng and some people. You see, because one or two sectors underperform, you then withhold the whole is problematic. Now, in this case, we know that education and health are really understanding a problem. We're not sure what roads is like. And so why is it that we don't release the part that would be, I mean, you can work out for instance the 40% and give roads that 40% because they perform. I mean, this is what the Division of Revenue says. A provincial treasury in allocating this money must assess the capacity to perform, etc., etc., etc. So why not? I mean, look, 40% of the 138 can be worked out, and so that you don't, for instance, compromise. I mean, I'm saying 47% of agriculture, if roads and agriculture are performing. I'm just saying it's something that you must really look at, because you do really compromise some of the other sectors if you withhold the whole lump sum of the IGP for instance, for whatever province. It's a matter we thought we had resolved in Gauteng, because there was that problem in Gauteng where education was understanding, but it was withheld for all of them. And the HOD treasury was headstrong until we had to convene a meeting and say, no, but yes, education is underperforming. Why don't you then release the health component so that health proceeds? Because health, I mean, we're raising this in the context of, in the spirit again of the Division of Revenue, where it says on the basis, the provincial treasury, on the basis of the performance, maintenance, etc., etc., must then be able to give. So it's a matter that we think ourselves must just be dealt in that sense. Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, what you are saying is true. In the education sector, probably all members know that Eastern Cape and Mpumalanga, they're using your own, quoting your verbatim, they're in the ICU. Now, what has happened in the Eastern Cape? Now, I think they understand the rules. They know that usually we start applying this rule in the third quarter, because you know, it's nature of infrastructure, it's difficult for provinces to start, I mean, perform on 25% benchmark in the sense. So in the Eastern Cape, what they've done last year, they've adjusted the education infrastructure budget down once. And they were within the threshold. It was then difficult for us to stop the allocation. So that's what they've done.
You know, you're teaching people tactics to try and beat the law.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the money, they will take.
You're speaking of an IPC.
Yes. They will take the grant to roads. Right. Now, what we are picking up is that because they have other projects outside the roads sector, which is airports and rail, they then take their equitable share and fund those projects. Then they take the grant
for
road.
Okay.
So then the net effect is that
there's no internal funding.
There's no internal because the equitable share then is being used to fund the other projects.
So the railway that is being revived there is using the equitable share.
Using the equitable share. The airport, two airports are using the equitable share. And then provinces will come and say we are underfunding roads. And I mean, those are the debates that you can see. The other issue in Mpumalanga is over the years they've been taking money to roads.
Mm-hmm.
And then the roads is growing, but education. It's a challenge. Last year, because of the coal holidays, they came to Treasury. They wanted money for coal holidays. Within their submission, they included national roads, roads that are owned by Sunrun as well as municipalities. We said, no, go back and take out those roads. And we told the provincial treasurer that there is 188 that can begin the process of design. The treasurer, I think they can come and explain here. They are saying the roads department, they design roads and they end up there. You know, they don't move. There are quite number of roads that are on design. So they were willing to give the 188 to roads for those. They said the roads must come back and say what has happened to the roads that were on design. And that is why then they were reluctant to transfer the money to the roads department.
But I think this is useful. Mr. Sogun, I think our meeting that's long overdue in the Eastern Cape is critical. I mean, look, we've really been... Now, you see, this thing now answers what we've been asking for such a long time. What is big chunk? I mean, as we speak now, you're right. The whole IGP again is going to grow. Kanti, the equitable say is going to all of these other things. It's an interesting issue, but I think it's a matter that it would be nice when we go there, if he could accompany us. So that we start talking to this. Because look, what it's going to do is going to create some distortion in terms of the whole planning. But also really defeat what we want to see in Dora. Well, what it also does is that ordinarily they don't budget for a critical element, which is road. And therefore that depending on the conditional grant, which is really wrong. So it's a very critical matter. Any other comment, questions, Mr. Sokoni, Mr. Koleni?
No, sir, that's not doing that to you. I mean, I like the comment that says there was a problem in education in Mpumalanga and in the Eastern Cape. Mr. Sendari has a role to play in those cases. But I think that maybe what we need to do, we really need to engage in this discussion and say, for example, when the initial application was made by the Eastern Cape to revise your inline, because that was a matter of concern to the city that
they left.
Have their plan. It was done with them. And I suppose that maybe the airport as well. But I know about the rail. The rail was discussed with what, which means that the National Department was supposed to pass that. And if that does not happen clearly, it means that there's a whole lot of infrastructure that has not been accessed. And some people say, our member from there, that you're spending the whole money. You keep on saying that, where are you spending this money? So I'm saying this information is useful because we don't know, we didn't know where is the money being spent. But they overspent. What was overspent? I don't even know. Now we know that they are taking money that they're supposed to. And I think that
we need to learn we need to get this information so that we find a way of saying how do we stop that, because those people who are supposed to stand on that are saying that, because clearly if they are spending in equitable share on an area where they were not supposed to spend, they are compromising some. As I'm saying, so I think this information is useful, especially when it comes to nuclear. But you know, people deny this, some of this information. They don't just give us this call, you know.
No.
They give us some more information so that we can also be able to engage intelligence.
Okay. No, the report is it's here.
Okay.
So,
right. Look, this is an interesting story, man. And we can talk about this for ages. Tomorrow we are going to have a meeting in S26 at 10 o'clock. We have also invited some municipalities tomorrow from Limpopo. Because there are matters we want to resolve immediately with GRAF, DME, and ESCOM that seem to be problematic in respect of some municipalities. So I'm saying, if people see those big municipalities, in fact, they don't have submissions to make, we will give them an opportunity just to engage with, we know some of the issues with the respective departments, just to say, I mean, there are issues of transferring of funds and personnel in terms of GRAF, issues of budget, draft, ESCOM, etc., etc. That's to say, we are setting them together to start the process of engaging with the national departments to resolve some of those matters. So tomorrow we're sitting in S26 at 10. On Friday we have no meeting.
At 10 tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah. You said there's no caucus.
No, I'm saying,
Thursday.
Also, I mean, other meetings that normally hold at the whole meeting.
Okay.
So, we
have
sure.
Program. 10 o'clock. And, that's it, yeah. The Minister of Finance has phoned me. The report is ready on municipality. So they will present it next week in the plenary. On the 26th, we will have our workshop on that. You know, it's coming. The timing is nice because it's coming at a time when we've done some municipalities across some provinces. We still are going to do some other municipalities, so we will be doing that workshop. Can we adjourn them until tomorrow? Thanks for coming, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
But Litwako was trying to be funny.
Litwako is working like a real bureaucrat, you know.
PTIS, I think there is money also being transferred to the cross-border agents and the rate from Litwako.
I mean, these chaps are talking rubbish here. This thing has been here all the time, understand me. All of a sudden, they pick up problems 2 years late. I can't believe it.